winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all the time thing. You don't win once in a while, and you don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit. You got to play with your heart, with every ounce of fiber in your body. I've never known a man worth a soul who deep down in his heart didn't appreciate the grind, the discipline, and to win, and to win, and to win. It is and always has been an American seal, and that's just to be first, regardless of what we do. There's no room for second place. There's only one place, and that's first place. I finished second twice in my time, and I don't ever want to finish second again. But I firmly hold that a man's finest hour, the greatest fulfillment to anything he holds dear, is that moment when he has worked his heart out in a good cause and lays exhausted on the field of battle, victorious.
Junior Seau, Ray Easterling, Dave Durison, Andre Waters, Jeff Alm. Who are these individuals? These are former NFL football players who chose to take their life with a gun to the head. Speeches are awesome. What happens after the last snap or after the last game is hard, cold reality. I'm Guy Boudreau, and welcome to the Guy Boudreau Show. Today's special guest is Dave Pair. Dave Pair is a former National Football League player who played under Al Davis, former owner and coach of the Oakland Raiders. Dave played in Super Bowl 15 with a broken neck. And if you leave today's show with anything, I would hope that you would leave with a deeper understanding of what it's like to play the game of football. So without further ado, I'd like to bring in Dave Pair. And Dave, before we get started, how are you feeling?
I guess I'm doing okay. You know, I'm going to get my hip done in December.
Okay.
I'm going to get a total hip replacement. But, you know, I've been, just struggling through the whole mess, you know. It's not easy.
Just for some clarity, the biggest issue appears to be not the National Football League, but the very organization that was set up as a union to protect the players and work as that middle person between that former player and the National Football League, correct?
That's what's happened right now. I think originally the NFL and the NFLPA, I mean, they've always been complicit. In other words, they've always worked together on everything. But it's reached a point now where there's so many issues with retired players that the NFL would like to clean it up, clean their image up, because the dark cloud that's hanging over the NFL is just getting darker. And it's going to hurt their business because they want to grow it from $10 billion to $25 billion in the next 5 years. And you're exactly right. The problem now, the biggest problem is our union, who doesn't represent us. You know, it's like, they called in our lawyers for retired players, Michael Hausfeld, and his group of lawyers, and told them it was a couple months ago. No, it was, I don't know, right after the CBA was settled, that our union is hiding $500 million from retired players. And that's just one deal. To answer your question, you're right. That is our biggest problem right now, is our phony union that's not a union.
So, Dave, could you elaborate on the fact that the union, the Players Association, is hiding funds from the players? I would ultimately assume that the board members would ultimately be responsible for that. So are they setting up dummy corporations? I mean, how can things like that happen in plain daylight? Maybe you can break that down for the listening audience.
Well, you know, the NFLPA and, you know, D. Murray Smith, I mean, he's a white-collar crime lawyer. I mean, this is what he does for a living. And the owners called in Michael Hausfeld because, you know, they wanted us to be part of the CBA, but the NFLPA didn't want us in the negotiations, you know. The NFL was supposed to be there, the NFLPA, and the retired players were supposed to have a seat at the table. They didn't want us in there, you know. And so the owners called in our lawyers, Michael Hausfeld. It's on the blog, and told them that the union is hiding $500 million from retired players. And see, that's why they said at the it came out of the CBA saying, "Oh yeah, we took care of retired players." They took care of us all right by not giving us what we were supposed to get. And they're saying, "Well, look what we did for you." They didn't do anything other than hide what they were supposed to give us and gave us a little crumb, you know? So
right.
It's just a mess, man, and it just gets messier and messier.
Dave, ultimately, the NFLPA is responsible for negotiating with the National Football League your pension or your pension and your disability, correct?
They're supposed to be, but what they do is they throw their hands up in the air and they say that they either can't do nothing or that they don't represent us. So they know, Guy, that these retired players, I mean, they know we all got head injuries, okay? And they know that the way that it's set up is so convoluted that even an experienced lawyer, you know, he has to figure out exactly what's going on, you know? It's like the thing about, you know, who's on first? I mean, you've seen that on the blog, haven't you? You know, where...
Right.
I mean, that's what it's all... I mean, that's the way it works. Now, a guy like John Hogan, he's totally up to speed as far as what they're doing, okay, as far as the disability, okay? So they're supposed to represent us, but they don't represent us, but they say they represent us, okay?
Okay.
So it's... And then when they decertified, like on the back of they sent retired players that belong to the NFLPA, like myself, I just belong so that I can, so I can get the information what they're sending out to retired players and get the card so I can legitimately from their end perspective. Complain about what a horrible job they're doing. Otherwise, they'd say, "Well, he's not even a member, so he can't even say anything." Okay, so what they did is they sent out a card as soon as they decertified. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And on the back of the card, it says 501(c)(6). Okay, and 501(c)(6) is for chamber. It's like for a chamber of commerce. A trade association, it's not a union, okay? And then, a couple days ago, I just got my new union card, saying, it doesn't say what they are, but on the front of it says that now they're an affiliate, a federation of professional athletes. They got the AFL-CIO on it again. So, I mean, I don't know what I know what they're doing. It's just a shell game, and until they get drug into court and having to explain what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to keep doing this, you know. And this legacy fund, I mean, what a joke. I mean, Nolan Harrison, you know, he wants to get his hands on the money. So whoever touches the money first is the guy that wins, okay? And, you know, the issues have been pensions, disability, and medical after football. Yeah, all this other stuff is a bunch of crap, you know?
Right.
I mean, it's just, when it came time for you to get your check, Guy, or for someone to pay you, if someone says, what are the three most important things to you, Guy? Uh, s- them to me, and then we'll take a look at it. You know what you'd say is pay me my check. That's what's important to me. And they said, what? And they kept sending you the same thing over and over and over again. They're just trying to wear you down. And most players, they realize we're all dying. I mean, look at the guys dying. Leroy Selman, my teammate in Tampa Bay. I mean, you know, guy was 56 years old. I mean, they know we're dying off, so they're just dragging their feet. Just like the tobacco industry did, because they know that if they drag their feet long enough, that a lot of players will die off. That'll just limit the liability. So it's a sad situation, but DeMaurice Smith is worse than Upshaw ever dreamed of being. He pretends to represent it, says yes to everything, but does absolutely nothing. You know what I mean?
So, Dave, what is the general consensus of other pre-93ers in regards to the current situation with the NFLPA?
Well, most players, want to see their pet that are alive. You know, the vast majority, what they're looking for is a pension increase. And so, you know, now that, Michael Hutfeld has filed, and his team has filed that lawsuit against Brady and the NFLPA on behalf of retired players because they had no right to represent us in the CBA. The NFLPA is using that as well, this group of retired players is just holding up the legacy fund, okay? So what it is, it's another tactic to stall and just cause more uncertainty and just hold up the money. So the general feeling of retired players is either they're so fed up with the union, they want to throw out the rascals, or if they make a living off it somehow, some connection with the NFLPA, thinking, well, yeah, I'm still part of the NFL because I'm a chapter president or whatever. Then they say, well, you know what? Let's work within the guidelines of the organization and try to fix it that way. Okay, so you really got two sets of people: people that want to say, okay, well, let's see what they'll do for us and hope they do the right thing. And you know, there's over 1,000 players that have signed the Declaration of Independence saying, you know, we want to represent ourselves because nobody represents us, okay? And if you hope the NFLPA is going to do the right thing, then you believe in the Wizard of Oz. It's not real, man. They're not capable of doing the right thing.
So, Dave, what does it take to disband and break up the current NFLPA?
Well, right now, that's what Michael Hutfeld is working on. He's filed a lawsuit, on behalf of retired players, saying that, when the NFLPA decertified, under the leadership of DeMaurice Smith, they had no legal right to represent retired players, okay? And they did, or at least they said they did, and they said, oh, don't worry, we took care of you in the CBA. They didn't do anything for us. Pensions didn't increase, and they came up with this phony legacy fund. What is that, And this concussion is just, man, that's a can of worms. You read about that daily as far as what's happening. The only way you can fix that is make the benefits legitimate so you can get access to benefits when you get hurt.
So, but clearly the NFL still endorses the NFLPA. So who creates that bridge between the NFLPA and the National Football League? I mean, because ultimately,
at the end of the day, this whole, the NFL controls everything.
Okay.
It's their deal. Okay. There's 32 billionaires with all the money. Okay. They ultimately control what happens. Okay. And we've been told by lawyers that, the NFL doesn't do anything fast. You know what I mean? It's not, we're not going to force these guys to do something real fast. I mean, they're going to, you know, they're going to do things methodically. They're going to do it on their own time. Okay, but they know there's a huge problem. They even said that, you know, that they want to make it right between, you know, with the retired players. Okay, and at this stage of the game, you know, the NFL is allowing the NFLPA, you know, some time to see if they can work it out, but they're not working it out. And see, what the plan is because of all the exposure and all of the complaining and all of the uproar by the pre-1993 retired players, they've changed a whole lot of stuff for the active players when they become retired players, okay? But for the pre-1993 players, their strategy is to just wait for us to die off, you know? And so, you know, there is change happening, but it's not going to affect the people that made the game, okay? I mean, that's the real travesty here, you know? I mean, they come up with all these phony programs. Some of them are actually are improvements, but it doesn't do anything for the 1993 players. I mean, if you talk to John Hogan, he's a disability attorney. I mean, you know, that's what he does for a living is disability. And he continues to point out, you know, the not only the injustices of the disability plan, but how it's illegal and it violates ERISA law. Okay? So if you just, you know, it's the current post right up, you know, right up there right now. It has John Hogan. It's his picture.
Okay.
Okay? And, you know, he's been a disability lawyer for 35 years. That's all he does, you know? And, but he's just one, you know, one guy. You need a huge law firm to take on, you know, the NFL. And that's why right now, you know, the only thing that's going to fix this thing, guy, is right now there is Bob Stein has filed the lawsuit against NFL Films, and that's the owner side of Players Inc.
Okay.
That's one class action. Okay. The other big lawsuit right now are concussions. Okay, it's huge. I mean, there's several concussion lawsuits. One's against Rydell and the NFL, knowing that they gave us these shoddy helmets and we all got brain damage.
Right.
You know. And the other one is what Michael Hosfeld is doing, is he's suing, you know, the NFLPA and Brady for representing us in the CBA because they had no legal right. And they didn't do it. They didn't represent us, you know. The owners gave them money to give the retired players, and they misappropriated it. They said, okay, here, this is what's for active and retired players. And so the NFL just, PA says, well, okay, well, you know, they gave the vast majority, like they do every year, to active players.
Mm-hmm.
And the retired players, they throw them a crumb, you know, and they say, hey, look, you know, we gave you something. Aren't you happy? Okay. Then the other lawsuits that we're waiting for is a lawsuit against the fraudulent disability plan.
Okay.
And AstroTurf. So there's more class action lawsuits coming at the NFL, but they're just waiting for us to die off, you know. And some retired players, you know, what I've heard is hey, look, at least we know what we're getting from the NFLPA, you know. What is the new group going to offer? I mean, the question is, if you know what you're getting, then you're not getting anything. You're getting, you know, you're getting screwed. You know, is that what you want?
Right.
So change is hard. Don't get me wrong. But the thing is, one way this thing is going to change is class action lawsuits, court of public opinion, like what you're doing and so mm-hmm. many other, much of the media is doing, and Congress. You know, and it's going to affect youth football, high school and college football, and the game is going to, you know, is going to change drastically because you got guys like George Visker, who played years in the NFL, has had 9 brain surgeries, and he's gotten nothing out of the NFL. It's practically destroyed his life. I mean, it's like somebody in corporate America getting hurt on the job, and they say, "Well, you're not vested yet, so you know that you don't get anything," and they get rid of you.
So what was the deal, Dave? With recant the deal with EA Sports and the residuals that were supposed to flow through the union back to the players?
Yeah, well, that's where our union, under the leadership of Gene Upshaw and Richard Berthelsen, you know, the lawyer, and he had all these people, Doug Allen. I mean, Doug Allen and his wife. His wife had a job, working for the union, and, you know, part of what she did is some work for EA Sports. She made about $650,000 a year.
Wow.
It's just like Jimmy Hoffa and the Teamsters. You know, you got all these shell things, games set up. And what it was our union sent out these contracts for us to sign saying that, you know, we're going to represent you and then we're going to split up the profits. The thing is, Richard Berthelsen is the one that wrote up the GLA agreement, okay? Because if you look at his resume on sports law, you know, it's one of the things that he says that he does, okay, is write up GLA agreements. Well, in court, Players Inc. trial, he didn't know who wrote Players Inc. agreement, okay? And Upshaw had died, and, so he wrote it. Okay, Upshaw tried over 100 times to get it thrown out of court. Okay, and their answer was that retired players were not marketable; they couldn't get anything. We weren't worth anything. Where he compared us to dog food, saying you can have the greatest dog food in the world, but if the dogs won't eat it, you can't sell it. So, what they did is there's some letters that went back and forth between EA Sports and our union, and our union talked about how they scramble our names and our faces so that they wouldn't have to pay us anything, okay? And that was brought up in court, you know? And so what they did is they didn't pay there's over 2,000 retired players that, according to to our union, the NFLPA, had these signed agreements. But the thing is, there were way more than 2,000 players that they used in Madden Video, but they only submitted like 2,062 to the courts. And John Madden, back in 2008 at the time, you know, had made like $150 million for himself, you know. Dude never said a word. In fact, when the trial started, he took a 2-week vacation, remember? It's the first time the guy ever went on vacation. And the reason he did it is he didn't want to answer any questions about Players Inc. Okay, the trial in federal court. And then Upshaw, you know, that's when the guy up and dies, you know? So they had to postpone the trial for a month. And then, you know, the lawyers, Jeffrey, the heck was his name? Jeff. The lawyer for Players Inc. He made $5 million in 2007 from the NFLPA, and you know we had to sue our own union. You know when it went to trial, it lasted 3 weeks down there in San Francisco. On the final day, the lawyer for retired players, Ron Katz, he flew me down, and I got to watch the last day. And our union said that. In fact, that lawyer said that Jeff, he said that his dead grandmother would roll over, you know, would be appalled by the grief. okay? So, you know, the courts, the jurors decided that, you know, they found him guilty. And you know, this is what, here, I'm digging out this thing right now. The way that the jurors described our union, I've never heard a murderer describe this bad before. Grossly fraudulent, evil, outrageous. It was, here it is right here. It said that here is the way that the courts found the union to be guilty of, including phrases as malicious and oppressive conduct with evil motive.
Wow, the court system said that about the NFLPA?
Yeah, and conduct that was outrageous and grossly fraudulent. That is what the jurors in federal court described our union as. And
What's the date on that, Dave?
November 11th, 2008.
Okay.
Yeah, and the lawyer for the union was Jeffrey Kessler. Jeffrey Kessler. In fact, Jeffrey Kessler said that his great-grandmother would be appalled by the greed of the retired players. And when this verdict came in, he said it was a miscarriage of justice. And in 2008, Kessler made $5 million. No, 2007. And this trial was in 2008. Okay. And then... And the union was found guilty of breach of fiduciary duty and breach of contract. Okay? But because the lawyers, you know, Ron Katz, who represented retired players, didn't give the courts a number of how much we got cheated out of, you know, all they could pay was on the breach of duty, breach of fiduciary duty, and that was $7 million plus punitive damages. It brought up to $28.1 million. The owners at this stage of the game would like to make amends with, you know, with retired players, because they would like to use retired players in their advertising and actually use us. But the thing is, they know that legally they can't. And if they bring in a Coke and a Pepsi and a Chrysler and all these different big companies, and then once they get sued, because the player, NFL Films is going to be suing the owner's side of Players Inc., because there's the NFLPA side, the NFL side, then it brings all these major companies into a lawsuit. And that's the last thing they want to do. So they got to clean the mess up, but they know that we're dying off. And based on the history of dealing with retired players, is they know, they think we're going to just go away. You know, but the thing is, we have nowhere to go, man. And so the internet's changed everything. Now we're talking about it. You know, there's momentum, and it's changed totally, except the NFLPA, who's supposed to represent us. They say they represent us, but they don't represent us. And, you know, they have no plans of paying one penny of their bill. Goodell went on his trip couple years ago, want to know what the issues are. I mean, be serious. Now our union's doing the same thing. It's just a tactic, you know?
Right.
Try to beat us down. And as these players, you know, have more problems, you know, bankruptcies, dementia, broken up families and whatever, you know, they get desperate, you know? Mm-hmm. And they would take anything, you know? Anything's better than nothing, you know? So it really is it's just greed.
Well, Dave, you know. Tell me this: Does the NFLPA have a salary scenario available to the public in regards to what the officers and board members are pulling in?
Well, they don't give you anything. You know, they're about as closed-lipped. But if you go on our blog and look at the LM2, you know, my editor, my publisher, has dug it up and we posted it online. You know, it's all posted there, and they hate that because it's a report that they have to give to the Department of Labor every year, and they got it submitted by May for the past year, for the year that just passed. That's why we're able to dig up in 2007 came out in May of 2008. Okay, and it was able to see what Kessler made in 2007. He made $5 million. So our union, is being paid to cheat us. And then listen to this. And some of these players that actually represent the NFLPA, guys like, and this is really important. I mean, this is, really put your listening ears on this guy, because this is another key point about how as far as what's happening. You got retired players. You got guys like Dave Megacy, Sam McCollum. You got guys like Nolan Harrison. These are players that talk well about the NFLPA. In fact, Nolan Harrison has said that our union's always been there for us, and he calls me a bitter old man full of venom. Okay, and but when you lay the facts out, but the facts are, if Nolan Harrison got a check for $14,500 in the Players Inc. trial, Sam McCollum got a check for $14,500. So did Dave Megacy. And these guys are ardent supporters of the NFLPA. So, figure that out.
Hmm. Interesting.
Interesting. That's the representation we get. So, the NFLPA, we had to sue them. And the people at the NFLPA, these retired players, are saying what a great job our union does for us. And when we sued the union, these guys got checks for almost $15,000. and so it's truly outrageous.
What is Sam McCollum's interesting. And it looks like he's also Dave Durison's successor?
Can you believe that? It's just like my question is, Sam may be a real nice guy. I've heard he's a real nice guy. But the question is, like John Hogan has said, he has no qualifications to do the job, other than the fact he's he's a schmoozer with the with the NFLPA and has a couple connections there. He has no training in disability, or disability law. Or what about a rehabilitation specialist? That aspect is missing in the NFLPA. There is no rehabilitation, In my case, in 1983, I met the qualifications for the line of duty because I was 59% disabled by the NFL's own doctor that they picked. It was from a football injury, and the NFL denied me the benefit, even though I qualified for it. In 95, I applied for total permanent disability, and I was rated 80% plus disabled. Okay, I was told I couldn't. No sitting, no standing, no lifting any more than 7 to 15 pounds. And I was required to rest frequently on the job. Okay, but I was denied the benefit, and I was told to go find a sedentary job. And they've been getting away with this stuff, and it's just like, they've been above the law, because people hold football in such high esteem. It's like, well, they're the NFL or the NFLPA, and they're so happy just to, people go there because they enjoy it. It's just like the gladiators, It's like their escape. They work all week, and then they want to go on the weekends. They want to forget about life and put a few dollars on the game or a lot of dollars or whatever, and they don't really care. They want their football. And, I'm not trying to ruin the game. I'm not trying to stop it. All I'm saying is, hey, look, the NFL has never paid their bills to the people that made the game what it is.
Right.
All we want is what you owe us. And you know what? And they're not even answering, that statement. And, he made such a we made such a stink about, you know, their thievery that they changed a lot of the way they do things, as far as, you know, the disability is a lot more accessible. It still has the same phony board. You know, you got three retired players that have absolutely no qualification. You got Jeff Van Note, who's employed by the Atlanta Falcons as an announcer. He's been there for over maybe 25 years. Okay, he used to be Tom Condon, and Tom—that's an unbelievable conflict of interest. You know, Tom Condon is a big-time agent. He used to be Upshaw's agent.
Hmm.
Okay, he sat on the board for over 20 years himself. You know, and he stepped down a couple years ago, and they put up a guy named Robert Smith. Robert Smith also works for the NFL. And then you had Duerson. Duerson would have said and done anything because, you know, he wanted Gene Upshaw's job, you know, and he said so many times that, you know, that these head injuries aren't real, you know. And then when he realized all the players that he turned down, he had the exact same injury, you know. And if you look at his track record, you know, he had domestic violence, you know, he had lost his business, bad business, you know, his company in Chicago. He got divorced, lost his house, you know, and so he had to step down from the board of, you know, at Notre Dame. So Upshaw says, "Hey, man, sounds good to me. You got a job over here." I mean, that's who they pick, you know? And so it doesn't make any sense at all, you know? And, but that's just how they do it, you know?
So
it
sounds to me like it's more about scratching somebody's back than it is about being qualified for the job at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And not going against the system, just going along with the system. It's like driving a getaway car. You know what I mean? It's like if you get in a car with somebody, and if you call your and if your friend calls you over and says, "Hey, guy, you know, I need a ride," and you go pick him up, and he says, "Take that, go here," but make a stop right here. Then he makes a stop, walks around the corner, go robs the bank, and gets in the car, and says, "All right, let's go." And you say, "What did you do?" And he says, "I just went and got a little money from the bank." And you say, "Oh yeah?" And he says, "Yeah, I just put this gun in their face and took the money." And if you keep driving them, you're part of the problem, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But if you stop and say, "Look, man, I don't want a part of this. You got to get out of my car. I'm going to call the police." You know, and when you get caught, I'm just as guilty because, you know, I'm part of the crime. Okay. Well, that's what these retired players have done. You know, they're part of the, I mean, they say, "Hey, look, you know, nothing I can do," you know, or they say, I voted for the retired player to get the benefit. But the thing is, there's three owners, three retired players, and then the NFL, supposed to be Roger Goodell, makes the final decision, the commissioner, but he appoints a lawyer. Right now it's Harold Henderson, and he's the guy that denies all these claims, okay? And so it's a setup. But here's something, here's a real perplexing question you need to ask is, you know, Tom Condon is a lawyer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what about the players that he represented? How did he vote when they came before the disability board when they were applying for disability? I mean, it's just, I mean, there's so many dirty things that they do. But it's like, you know, nobody really cares, really. But they're starting to, you know. And, you know, of all the reporters that I speak to, the young people, when they, you know, when it's all said and done, you know, with the interview, I ask them if they have any kids. And they say, a lot of them say, "Yeah." And I says, "Are they going to play football?" And they said, "Well, said yes. Because they realize if they go up the ladder, if they go from Pop Warner, high school, to college, and on to the pros, okay, that, you know, they may have head injuries in high in Pop Warner, okay? Guess who gets stuck taking care of Johnny when he's in the 7th or 8th grade and he has head injuries, doesn't do well in school? The federal government, okay? So it's like putting a gun up to your son's head and telling him, hey, look, you know what I mean? Go out and make me happy, okay? Because, you know, I couldn't play football or I, you know, but I want to live my life through you. I want you to do it, okay? And then go to, what about high school? Same thing, you know. So many players get banged up and hurt, and they just get thrown to the side. Then go to college, okay? Then if you're fortunate enough to go into the NFL, I mean, look at the statistics. After, what, 2 years after leaving the NFL, 80% of retired players are either broke, disabled, or divorced. So look at the statistics. I mean, it's frightening. In the NFL, you have no guaranteed contracts. You got a fraudulent disability plan that violates ERISA law. I mean, just look what Hogan says about it. I mean, he can't believe, you know, how illegal it is. Pensions, a car payment, and there's no medical. Okay, now they got medical for 5 years or 3 years or whatever. But you know, these players aren't insurable. Okay, so whatever they're making, they better hang on to it because they're gonna need every penny they have. Okay. Then the NFL dumps these retired players onto the federal government, Social Security disability, or these players just got to fend for themselves. Then they go out and do some crazy stuff, you know, because they got brain damage and you know, I mean, they're in pain. And then the press says, well, you're just another dumb football player. But the reality is, there is a ring of truth to that, because when you get hit in the head, life's different. You have brain injuries. You know,
right.
You don't know what the problem is. You think you can work your way through it, but the reality is you can't. It gets worse. Okay, and we were taught to keep playing, just keep going. You know, if you don't do it, you're not a man. And so, you know, it's going to be if Michael Hotfeld, you know, once he can, you know, win in court, some judgment against the NFL, you know. And we can continue to get our foot in the door, then there's going to be a big change, you know. And this concussion stuff is huge, man. They've been lying. They've been lying for so many years, for the last 90 years, about head injuries. You had this Ira Kassin, Dr. No, who said there's no scientific evidence that getting hit in the head causes brain damage. I mean, can you believe a medical doctor saying that?
Oh, yeah. No, I remember. Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, well, the NFL finds doctors to say that. Then you got Goodell disciplining players for hitting too hard with your head. I mean, that's the way the players were taught to play. Now they're saying that's illegal. So what I'm saying is which way do you want it, you know? I mean, it's like if you take the trees out of the forest, it's no longer the forest.
Right.
I mean, every week you see all these serious injuries out there, you know? And, you know, really my advice to these players that go down on the field and it's national TV and they go down and they get seriously injured is don't come back. Because if you come back, you know, the NFL is going to say, well, you're not really hurt. And it didn't happen in the NFL. And, oh, by the way, you know, go get a sedentary job. That's the way they treated us. But the current players, they're going to treat them better than the way they treated us. But they treated us, man, just like they treated a potato peel. Once they're done, they just throw it in the trash. The NFL, I mean, they don't want to pay their bills. And the only real solution to it is to put a warning on all these contracts that NFL players sign. It's hazardous to your health, okay? But when you do get injured, you get hit, you get brain damage, you're going to get your pension. You know, you're going to have access to disability benefits, okay? You're going to have a livable pension, and you're going to have medical after football. Japan since 1979. In fact, Al Davis just died. I mean, he's the guy that when I broke my neck playing for him, he told me he wouldn't take responsibility for my neck injury. You know, I had to go on my own, and my neck had and have a bulging disc pulled out of my neck. I played 2 years like that for him. You know, I played in the Super Bowl with a herniated disc on my neck and made some big plays. So I put a couple, I put at least one diamond on that ring. You know, there's 35 diamonds on it. You know, I mean.
You know what's interesting though about the whole Al Davis scenario in relation to your situation, Dave, was that, you know, I was looking at, I worked a lot. And look, I just found out maybe 3 hours ago from a buddy that Al Davis had died, and it made me think of your situation. And but there was a individual on ESPN that was giving his condolences to Al Davis. He was the former coach for the Giants for years. What's his name? Heavyset guy? Parkinson?
Parcells.
Parcells was boasting about the time when Al Davis was coaching an All-Star game he was participating in, and he happened to be hurt. And Al Davis looked at him and said, Are you in or are you out? He said, I'm in. And he was, and after the game, Al Davis walks up to him and gives him a couple of $200 extra. And he was basically praising Al for those $200 extra. So the biggest problem, really, I see, Dave, well, not the biggest problem, one of the problems, is the mentality of those who have to ride the gravy train of a very lucrative company in order to keep food on the table. So their distortion of reality will always be skewed. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. In fact, you know, guys like Parcells aren't trying to keep food on the table. He wants to curry favor with, you know, with the NFL so he can continue his cushy lifestyle at
right.
the expense of these kids. You know what I mean? And hey, you know what? Davis just did that for some good publicity. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like 95% of retired players in the 1993 era are the enemy of the NFL. Okay, 5% of them they want to showcase. You know, the Joe Montanas. You know, you got Howie Long, you know, you got Michael Irving, I mean, Matt Millen. I mean, you got some people they want to showcase. And so, you know, the public thinks, oh, wow. You look at Terry Bradshaw, and they think that, wow, you know, once these players stop playing, this is how they live. You know, they're all, you know, having, life is good. But the reality is that's not true. Nothing could be further from the truth, you know. Now, guys like Terry Bradshaw has spoken out against the NFL because he's done announcing. But, you know, these guys that are announcing right now, I mean, they all know that what's happening isn't right. But they're saying, hey, look, you know, I need a job, you know, and some of these players do need a job. And some of these announcers, like, I won't name their names because they have jobs. They say, Dave, man, keep doing what you're doing. I support you, but you know what? I got a job, so I can't say anything. Because at the end of the day, if they speak out against the NFL, Roger Goodell decides who announces these games and who doesn't. Okay? So if you go against the system, guess what? You don't have a job anymore. You know? In order to survive in that, you know, in the NFL industry, you got to go along with the program. I mean, remember when Michael Vick was spitting up blood? You know, you actually had those announcers who Michaels and who's the other guy that wide receiver from Florida that played for Cincinnati, that tall guy. I can't think of his name. They were saying that, oh, it looks like he twisted his neck and he bit his tongue. I mean, I'm just saying, you got to be. Al Michaels, and who's the guy that he works with? I don't know who he is. He's that tall, skinny guy. I mean, these guys would say anything to keep their jobs. And they want to you know, it's like it doesn't matter. You know, we'll say anything. We'll say white is black and black is white, but just let me keep my job, and I'll say whatever you want me to say. So it's, to me, it's pretty pathetic, you know, with that mentality. But let me get back, you know, here's something interesting, you know, that the judge in the Players Inc. trial, his name was William Alsup. Okay. Here's what he says in his, you know, in his letter. He says, a monumental fact that was never adequately explained by the defendant, and that's the NFLPA. It says, how could it have been that defendants lobbied thousands of retired players for 14 years to sign up for the marketing program, yet never paid 1 cent to any retired player under the program?
Wow.
You see, that's what the judge said, you know? He had to listen to this stuff for 3 weeks. And then Upshaw, here's Upshaw's comment. It says, the dog food reference was generated by a comment that the late Gene Upshaw made to the New York Times. Here's his comment. We could have the greatest dog food in the world, the former NFL PA executive director says, but if the dogs don't like it, you can't sell it. Put that at the top of your story. And that same group of, that same sinister group of individuals still represents us. And when Dee Smith got the job, he talked about, you know, how cool it was and how much he respected Gene Upshaw. But then he comes and talks to us, retired players, and says, oh, one team, one locker room. So he just says whatever he has to say. But the reality is you don't hear much about him anymore, do you?
No.
You know, he doesn't speak up much, does he? He doesn't hardly say anything. And he also, you know, when Gene Upshaw died, Gene Upshaw, when he took over the job in 83, the guy was like $200,000 in debt. Okay? When he died, he had almost $20 million. Gene Upshaw's first wife was found buried under a fence in Oklahoma. And, they said there was no foul play, and, you know, from what the article said, that she had mental issues. You know, so he had a son through her, and then he had two other children through his new wife, Terry. And they tried to cheat. Gene tried to cheat his own son out of his first son out of his inheritance, and some lawyer on Gene's deathbed signed some piece of paper, which is just how Gene Upshaw, you know, just how the whole thing, yeah, that's just how they operate. And Gene Upshaw's first son, Eugene, got a lawyer, and they were going to sue the lawyer and the whole estate, and they settled out of court. So Gene Upshaw even tried to cheat his own son out of his inheritance. So that's Gene Upshaw. It's beyond shameful, man. It's just, you know, it's just... And Gene Upshaw and I were teammates in the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 15, you know. I wanted to call, you know, when Gene was alive, I called him. And I bet I called him 75 times. And I got to know Terry, his wife. That was his secretary. That was Gene's secretary. He ended up marrying her. You know, when Gene finally took the call, the first thing he said out of his mouth is, he says, hey, Pear, keep your feet moving. He laughed. So, you know, Gene was just, Gene was a thief, man. Well, what can I say? He was a thief. And, you know, I had suspected for years and years and years that, you know, he was trained by Al Davis, because remember when I was with the Raiders, you know, Gene Upshaw and Al Davis had investments together.
Really?
I remember a player one time said, he asked Gene about the shopping center that him and Al Davis owned, I think down in Jack London Square, and Upshaw came on glued, man. He said, don't you ever say that again. And so, about three years ago when I was, you know, when they had the Super Bowl down in Atlanta, and, I rode from the airport to the hotel. You know, a Raider coach was there. Upshaw to be a thief was Al Davis.
Interesting.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know what? There's so much stuff, man. It's just all dirty, man. It's just all dirty, sinister stuff. And that's who the NFL is, man. You know, they just, once you're done, man, these head injuries, you know, this is what is going to have a huge impact on the game, you know. And Goodell is just, he's like a deer in the headlights, you know. Several years ago, you know, when I was, you know, I tried to get a copy of the plan document, you know, and that is, you know, for disability, you know, it lays out exactly, you know, what the NFL's, you know, plan is. I couldn't get one. After about 6 months, Goodell called me, and, you know, it was a PR call, but I made him listen for 25 minutes, and, listen to my grievance. At the end of 25 minutes, he said, "Who do you think I am, Dave? God?"
Well, I hope you enjoyed today's show, and ultimately, I hope you pulled something away from this show and you can share that with your neighbors. You can share that with other fans of the game of football, because this isn't something that the public is privy to. This is something that is looked upon as, hey, great, you played in the National Football League, kudos, etc. But you have to realize ultimately that, especially the pre-1993 players, they essentially started the spark that created the flame for the National Football League. So, you know, it's please, when you watch the game of football and you follow your favorite player, know that there's more than just taking a snap and making the big hit. It's what happens after the big hit. I'm Guy Boudreau. Thanks for tuning in to Anything and Everything. And we hope you join us next week when we will have the grandson of RJR Tobacco on the show. He has started a company that is against what his grandfather and father built, which was a $1 billion organization. So again, enjoy the week. Have a blessed week. God bless you. Please reach out through us through social media on our Facebook page and Twitter page at Guy Boudreau Radio. You can also text GTB Radio to 88500 for any information regarding upcoming shows.
Well, if I asked you just one question, why do you walk these streets alone? Girl, you've learned so many lessons. Why won't you just go on home? I know things were never easy, but you'd pretend you didn't care. But all this casual indifference will always be a price to bear. Oh, remember that day last November, the snow was falling to the ground. She met the man with a hurricane now. Well, I asked if you'd work for him now.
sent to jail. Every extra cent that you earn. Don't you know what goes to making Johnny's bail?